Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdillahu fala mudilla la wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya la. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. محترم ماؤں اور بہنوں, respected mothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our topic today is regarding Muharram and Ashura and the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When one studies the noble Quran, honorable mothers and sisters, in Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse number 36, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala highlights the importance of these months. And Almighty Allah states, Inna iddat ash-shuhuri inda Allah idna ashara shahra. That verily the amount of months by Almighty Allah are the 12 lunar months. في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض. And this was prescribed and ordained by Almighty Allah the day He created the universe, the heavens and the earth and everything else. From these 12 lunar months, منها أربعة حرم, there are 4 sacred months. What do we learn from here, mothers, sisters? 3 lessons. Number 1, in Islam we follow the lunar calendar. So we are living in South Africa. We know that everybody knows about January, February and all that called the Gregorian calendar. So why don't we use that for our Ramadan and our Hajj and so forth? You see the non-Muslims, they use it for their Christmas and New Year. If they're living in South Africa, the whole life they experience it in summer. If they are in Canada, America, then you will find it's extreme winter there. And that's a whole life's experience. Now you, in your lifetime, you kept fast in Ramadan, mashallah, in summer, winter, other seasons. So Almighty Allah lets it rotate. Similarly, with the Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, the Hajj. So Almighty Allah has a system based on justice that everyone can enjoy. Not we have it stagnant and we just have it in one time. So that is one of the great wisdoms that we follow the lunar calendar. Second one, Almighty Allah decreed this, the day Almighty Allah created the universe. So it shows that our calendar is from time immemorial, from first day. And third one, Minha Arbatun Hurum, that 4 months are sacred. So which are the 4 months that are sacred? Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Thalathun mutawaliyat, 3 are consecutive months, Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah and Muharram, and the month of Rajab. So we are now in 1439, the month of Muharram, and it is one of the sacred months, one of the holy months. Muharram itself means to be sacred and holy. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explaining the virtues of this month, the whole month. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Afdalus siyam ba'da shahri Ramadan, the best fast after the month of Ramadan is shahrullah al-Muharram, the month of Almighty Allah, and that is the month of Muharram. So whether we are fasting today, tomorrow day of Ashura, next week, the following week, So all this are great, great fast. And the best fast will be the day of Muharram, without the day of Ashura, without any shadow of doubt. So therefore we should understand this and understand it properly. Say for example, we are fasting next week. So what should we do? We get two, three different types of people. Number one, those people, mashallah, from the time they became baligh and mature, till now they're up to date with all their fast. So very good, you're fasting tomorrow, fasting Monday, fasting Thursday, next week and so forth. So that's excellent. You get other people, mashallah, because, you know, of old age or because of sickness or traveling, they miss some Ramadan fast. So they have outstanding fast. So they have to keep qaza. So what we can do is that tomorrow or Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever, so we make intention of qaza fast. So that also is acceptable and that is preferred to do. We first concern and worry about the qaza fast compared to the sunnah or nafil fast. Third one, now the ladies, some of them want to make shortcut. Say tomorrow I want to make intention for qaza and for ashura. Kill two birds with one stone. So that is not permissible. Remember, in a case like that, you just keep qaza only or you keep ashura only. If you're keeping ashura, then you don't make intention of qaza. If you're keeping qaza, you don't make intention of ashura. So that is what we should be doing. And then the other days, Monday, Tuesday, you keep your qaza. So mashallah, we should understand this type of issues properly. Now tonight, tomorrow is the day of Ashura, my dear mothers, sisters. There are three masail, three things we should understand regarding Ashura, and that is of paramount importance. Number one, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَيُّ كَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهَا. I hope and I expect Almighty Allah Jalla Wala to forgive the previous year's sins. So from last year Ashura to this year Ashura, our sins will be forgiven. The minor sins, the Saghira, the Saghair sins. And that is the fadl, the grace, the mercy and benevolence of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So each one of us make this intention, inshallah tomorrow I will fast. We are fasting today, alhamdulillah, and we fast tomorrow. If we're not fasting today, then tomorrow and Monday. So in that way there we reap this great reward, this authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. And why two fast, mothers and sisters? Because Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not want that we imitate the non-Muslims. When Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah Mukarramah, they used to keep one fast. When they came to Madinah Munawwara, they found the Jews were fasting. And they asked the Jews, why are you fasting? They said, Adha Yawmun Azim. This is a very big, significant day. Ghalraqallahu Fir'aun wa Qawmah. Almighty Allah drowned the Pharaoh and his people. Wa Najjallahu Musa wa Qawmah. And Almighty Allah rescued Nabi Musa alayhi salam and his people. So they are thanking Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Musa alayhi salam kept the fast and they are imitating. See what Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nahnu ahakku wa awla bi Musa. We are nearer to Nabi Musa alayhi salam because we follow his true teachings. And remember, then we will not be imitating you. So Nabi alayhi salam said, Khaliful Yahud, as mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, in Mishkat Sharif, it's also mentioned about the fasting. And you find in Bukhari Sharif and various compilations about the importance of Ashura. Thereafter, mothers and sisters, so we should know that Ashura is important from the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. And before Nabi Musa alayhi salam's time was the time of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. You know when the tufan, the deluge, the floods came. Then Almighty Allah told Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, he must go in the boat, in the safina. That safina, that boat, Quran says, was tawat al-judi. It stopped there and anchored there in Judi. Judi is a mountain there in Iraq. So all this happened on the 10th of Muharram. The hadith is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad. So it shows from long time ago, this day of Ashura has so much importance. You know, today, mothers, sisters, we go to the Baytullah, the Kaaba Musharrafa, and you will see that when we are leaving for Arafat, on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the Kiswa, the Ghilaf, the black cloth, then they bring the new cloth in, the black Kiswa, the Ghilaf, and they bring 5 pieces, 4 for the walls and 1 for the golden door. So this happens nowadays on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. In the pre-Islamic days, it used to happen on the day of Ashura. So it shows before the Milad Mubarak, the honorable birth of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the advent of Nabi alayhi salam, the Quraysh, they used to keep these days also as significant. And to show its importance, they would change the ghilaf, the kiswa of the Kaaba Musharrafa, the Baytullah. So that's the first thing we all should try and do, fasting. Why is fasting so important? Because it teaches us to suppress our desires. The food is there, the drink is there, everything is there, but for a greater purpose. Ya Allah, for your love, for your pleasure, I will not eat, I will not drink, Ya Allah. And therefore we come closer, nearer to the mercy of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala. And therefore fasting is so important in Islam. Second one, mothers and sisters, it brings us and we emulate the angelic qualities. One side we got the angelic qualities, angels don't eat, they don't drink, they don't have lust, desire, passion. On the other side is the satanic qualities, and that is eating, drinking, anything, everything, they don't worry of halal, haram. And fulfilling the lust and desires and passion, they don't worry of halal, haram. So we detach ourselves from the satanic qualities and inculcate within ourselves the angelic qualities. And once we start doing that, Almighty Allah elevates our rank and status so great that we supersede and become greater than the malaika in many instances, you know. So we should understand the wisdom of fasting as well. Second one, mothers and sisters, the hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, Tab Allahu fihi ala qawm, wa yatubu fihi ala qawm in akhareen. On this night of Ashura, the day of Ashura, Almighty Allah accepted the tawbah of a people. Meaning, Nabi Musa alayhi salam's people made tawbah, Allah Ta'ala accepted it. Wa yatubu fihi ala qawm in akhareen. And Allah Ta'ala will accept the tawbah of other people as well, me and you. So tonight is a big night, tomorrow, Sunday is day of Ashura, a significant day. So what is the meaning of tawbah? Regarding tawbah, we should understand the following 5 issues. Number one, at-tawbatu an-nadama. Tawbah is to have that afsos, that regret, that remorse. Ya Allah, every moment, every second, your favors, your bounties are recurring upon me. But what am I doing, O Allah? Instead of making shukr and showing gratefulness, every day I violate your laws. I see haram things, I hear haram things, I speak haram things. I don't read salat. I'm just giving examples now, obviously. So mothers, sisters, what we do, that he commits vices and sins, major, major sins, minor sins. So instead of making shukr, we continue with the vices, we trample on the sharia, we violate the laws of Islam, the teaching of Almighty Allah and Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that feeling of guilt must be there within us. Wa afsos ka izhar karna. We have to display that we are ashamed and we are regretful of our deeds and actions. So that is the first part. Second part, we have to detach ourselves. Everybody knows the weaknesses. ABC person weakness is drugs. XYZ is that he don't read salat. Another person is that their income is questionable. Another person, remember, that they go to casino gambling. Another person involved in illegal affairs, boyfriend, girlfriend, zina, all these type of things, Allah forbid. So mothers, sisters, when we speak of tawbah today, not tomorrow, immediately we make a promise between ourselves and Allah. Ya Allah, I want to change from this haram. I want to go away from this haram. that I'm not wearing my niqab or hijab or whatever, I'm not dressing properly. So whatever it is, so my dear respected mothers and sisters, so second thing, we, Allah Ta'ala se wada karna hai. Ya Allah, from today I will not miss salat. From today I will not dress indecently. From today I will not be involved in the TV and Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood and all. So that is what we need to change around. Today look at the halat of the ummah. Allah has promised us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمِينَ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِينَ. Allah will not change the condition of this ummah and of me and you until we bring a change from within ourselves. When last did we read Quran Sharif for 1 week daily? When last did we read some tahajjud salat or some extra salat? We just go through the motions and it's finished. No. So Allah Ta'ala said ta'alluq paida karna. We have to connect ourselves to Almighty Allah. Today we know about charging the cell phone and the mobile and all. So we have to charge our own iman. We have to recharge our iman. So in this way, when we connect ourselves to Almighty Allah, we connect ourselves with the teachings of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you will feel that our iman is increasing. So number one is the afsos, the regret, the remorse. Number two, the sins we are involved in, immediately we have to cut ourselves, detach ourselves from that. Number three, mothers, sisters, is that we have to fulfill the rights of Almighty Allah Jalla. Every person. I know when I became baligh, so when I was 13, 14, 15 years old, whatever the case was, so in a case like that, work out, calculate, how many salat I have missed, how many Ramadan, Saum, Siyam, fasting I have missed, my zakat, how many times I did not pay zakat. So all these are the obligations which Almighty Allah has made upon us. So we have to settle all that. That is Deenul Islam. Allah ke hukuku pura karna. We have to fulfill the rights of Allah. Then remember that the fourth one, hukukul ibad. That we owe people. And we took some amanat from people. I'll take this, I'll give it back to you. A kitab or a CD or whatever it was. And then we just forget. Conveniently we forget. So remember that this is very, very serious. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yughfaru lishaheed kullu dhanbin illa ad-dayn." A person who gave his life in the battlefield, made the supreme sacrifice. So all his sins are forgiven, but the debts are not forgiven. Open Mishkat Sharif. So imagine even that person there, that he will not be forgiven totally because his debts are outstanding. So me and you, mothers, sisters, last night I was there in Masjid-e-Hilal. So one brother came to me and said, "Mufti sahab, my wife, she likes your talks." So I said, "What happened?" He said, "You spoke about the husband must spend on the wife. She already took the credit card and is going to spend from now already." You see? So mothers, sisters, that how we love to do that, so we must love to make sure that our debts are paid. Our outstanding ibadat and actions regarding the rights of Almighty Allah, all that are up to date. That is what Allah Ta'ala teaches us, to pray, P-R-A-Y, to Allah, and not to pray, P-R-E-Y, on the creation of Allah. So think about it seriously, mothers and sisters. So number one, the afsos, the regret we must have. Then number two, that is, we must have detach ourselves from the sins and the vices we are involved in. Number three, fulfill the rights of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Then number four is, fulfill the rights of creation. Muslim or non-Muslim, our maid. So we make her work, and then we underpay her. So we should be the one, this weekend here, if she's still there by the house, so give her a bonus without her asking. And even she will say, "Today madam woke up from the right side of the bed," you know. So you must show appreciation to all of them, even if they're non-Muslim. Remember that. We get visitors and they have to do so much extra work and so forth and so on. So show them that we are Muslim. Number four. Number five, mothers and sisters. So number one was the regret and remorse. Number two, detach ourselves from all these vices and everything which we are involved in immediately. Number three, fulfill the rights of Almighty Allah. Number four, fulfill the rights of creation. Number five is mentioned in Quran Sharif. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, e iman walo. Allah Ta'ala mentions this phrase, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, 89 times in the noble Quran. This iman, that is what will motivate us. That is what will inspire us. That will let us do actions. So, tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha, Surah 66, verse number 8. Surah 66, Surah Tahrim, verse 8. Allah says, Jalla wa ala, make such a tawbah that it is tawbatan nasuha. So, what is tawbatan nasuha? Somebody came to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and said, Ya Amir al Mu'mineen, I understand tawbah. What is the nasuha? Sayyidina Umar was a genius. He said, radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda, that when you milk the she-camel, when you milk the cow, do you see the milk going back into the udders of the cow? Did you ever see the milk going back? He said, no. He said, similarly, that when we commit sin, now we say we're making tawbah, now we don't go back to those vices. We don't go back to those sins. That is the sign of tawbah and nasuha. Tawbah and maqboola, the tawbah that is accepted by Almighty Allah. Me and you sometimes we're saying, Ya Allah, I'm making tawbah and all. But inside our heart, in our mind, we're already preparing for the next sin, for the next appointment with a boyfriend, girlfriend, this one, that one. So that is not tawbah e nasuha, that is tawbah e kaziba. That is a lie. We are not making sincere tawbah. And tawbah is such, Quran Kareem states, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. All of you, there are no exceptions. Whether it is male, female, alim, non-alim, rich, poor, all of us have to make tawbah. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّوَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. O you believers, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you are successful. So number one for Ashura is our fasting. Number two, تَابَ اللَّهُ فِي عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ وَيَتُوبُ فِي عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ آخَرِينَ. The hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, and I gave you the conditions. So Allah give you all of us tawfiq that tonight, tomorrow we make sincere tawbah. Third one, mothers, sisters, is the one you like. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ وَسَّعَ عَلَىٰ يَالِي فِي النَّفَقَ يَوْمَ عَشُورَىٰ وَسَّعَ اللَّهُ سَائِرَ سَنَتِهِ. Whosoever spends on his wife, on his children and so forth, on the night of Ashura, the day of Ashura, then Allah will increase his rizq, remember, for the whole year. So tonight, from now, you can start telling your husbands, I sent out the tweet also, you know, my Twitter handle at AK Hussain, AKHOOSEN. I said that, oh husbands, spend on your wives and your children and all of them tonight. Because today you're fasting, for example, tomorrow you're fasting. So they say, now when must we spend? So I was just looking at my phone. You know, people got everything. So the lady writes, Mufti Sahab, when must we make 7 types of meal for Ashura? Imagine somebody told her she must make 7 different meals. So all these is fairy tale, got no basis in Islam. You must remember that you can make 1 meal, you can make 2 different types of meal, 3 is fine. You don't have to make 7 type of meals and all this type of thing. Bichara, the husband won't wake up for Fajr then also. So he'll be fast asleep, you make so many meals and all. So mothers, sisters, you tell your husband that he must spend a little bit extra on you. The father, tell him to spend a little bit extra on the children. Allah Jalla Wala will make the rizq easy for the whole year, inshallah. The hadith reported by 10 sahaba. You open Mishkat Sharif, Bayaki and so forth, Razin and all of them. So you must remember that there is authenticity and basis for this. That's number one. Number two, there's one reported there, his name, Sufyan bin Uyayna. He's the ustad of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. He says, for 50 to 60 years we tried this. فَجَرَّبْنَاهُ فَوَجَدْنَاهُ كَذَلِكَ. For 50 years or more, whenever the night of Ashura came, day of Ashura came, we spend a little bit extra on our wives, on our children and so forth. Allah Jalla wa Ala, through His grace and mercy, made the rizq easy for us and increased us for the whole year. Today look at the world. People are retrenched, people have lost their job, people are fired. And the world is so worried what's going to happen. Here in the starting of the Islamic year, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a prophetic prescription. So we should be practicing on this. So you know, you wives, you'll know how to put it. Just tell honey, give some money and all these type of things. So inshallah, your husband will be also very good. We spoke to them already. And inshallah, we'll speak to them again this afternoon and tonight also inshallah. Next one, mothers, sisters, that the husband-wife relationship. I just want to tell you three incidents. Sometimes we go overboard. Either the husband goes overboard or either the wife goes overboard. Look at Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's akhlaq-e kareema, his noble example and character. One day, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, Sayyida Hafsa radiallahu anha, if you know how the houses were, their houses were like almost attached to one another. They wouldn't even come out of the house. There was no need. The windows were from Hazrat Aisha is in her house. Sayyida Hafsa radiallahu in her house, they could speak to one another. So they were very good friends. So one day they visited Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha. Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha was dressed very nicely, beautifully, everything. And they were not dressed so beautifully, Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Hafsa. You know, a little bit simple. They looked at one another, they said, you know what? Just now Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come. He will see the older lady, Sayyida Sauda, is looking so nice. And we are not looking so nice, meaning, you know, because of the clothes and all. So we need to do something. So they made a plan. So they told Sauda radiallahu anha, Sauda, you heard? She asked, what? He said, Dajjal is going to come out. He said, when? He said, maybe just now. So Sauda radiallahu anha, she asked them, what must I do? So they told her, go inside that room there. Meaning the one room where there was a lot of dust and all that. So go wait there and inshallah Dajjal won't trouble you. Then she went to the Sauda radiallahu anha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes his entry. And the two of them are laughing and smiling. Because now it's only two of them, Hazrat Sauda is there. So Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, that why are you laughing so much? What happened? Was the joke like? So they made their signal, they signed, you know, gestured. Go there, Ya Rasulullah, go see. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and Hazrat Sauda is so frightened. Then Nabi alayhi salam asked, what are you doing here in this place where there's so much dust in there? She said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they told me Dajjal is coming out. So Nabi alayhi salam knew that is the Aisha and Hazrat Hafsa. So you see, between two, three, four wives that you have all these kind of things. In Arabic we got the saying, Ad-darratan la tattafiqan. If a person got two wives, they don't agree. They don't see eye to eye, you know. So anyway, Nabi alayhi salam smiled, but he did not go and reprimand or shout or scream at Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha or Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anha. See how magnanimous Nabi alayhi salam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, no, the Dajjal is not coming out. Now he'll come out afterwards before Qiyamah. So anyway, there's a beautiful kitab written by our Ustad Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni on Ziwaj, on marriage and so forth. In there he mentioned this incident there. So we see Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. If you got understood this Akhbar-e Umar by Allama Tantawi, so Rahimahullah, he wrote many stories of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu and his, you know, in his lifetime this happened. That. So he writes Qissa to Umar wal A'rabi, the story of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu and the Bedouin. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is in his house. And he sees a person coming, and then he took a U-turn, he went away. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sent somebody and said, go call that person. So they brought him. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, you came, you wanted to find out something, then why you went to? He said, no, I don't want to discuss it. So he was very reluctant. Sayyidina Umar said, see, I'm Amirul Mu'mineen. Please inform me, maybe I can assist you and so. He said, okay. You see, Amirul Mu'mineen, what happened? I told my wife few things. You know, few words I told her. I told her few words, and she told me many, many paragraphs. She gave me a tongue lashing, and she told me this and that and that. You know, sometimes you woman, that tongue, it don't stop. It just goes on and on. You make ada and qaza. You take everything out. So, therefore, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, used to wear a ring. On that ring was engraved, Jirmuhu Sagheer wa Jurmuhu Kabir. Jirmuhu Sagheer wa Jurmuhu Kabir. The size of the tongue is small, but the crime it commits is big, to remind himself. So my heart was broken. I said, let me go to you, Amirul Mu'mineen, and ask you, this is what happened. When I came here, I heard your wife giving you a tongue lashing. She is telling you so many things. I said, what does Amirul Mu'mineen do to help me? Both of us are in the same boat. So therefore I walked away. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was a genius. He said, oh person, come let's sit. You, me, and you discuss it. Who cooks the food in your house? He said, my wife. Who cleans the house? My wife. Who washes your clothes? My wife. Who looks after the children? My wife. So he gave 5-6 examples like that. I ate one day. I said, who looks after the uplang? So that also we'll say, nowadays the wife. So all the valuables and everything. So many things, subhanallah, one lady, and she's doing the work of 5, 6, 7 people. She got 7, 8 portfolios. So Sayyidina Umar is explaining to him, sometimes even they get fed up, frustrated, so they have to vent their anger. They have to take everything out, get it off their mind and chest and everything. So occasionally, if they do so, you must just keep quiet. Don't retaliate, don't say. And then, mashallah, this is now, he didn't say, Sayyidina Umar, I'm just telling you. Then we tell the husband, just buy one nice gift, and remember, go give, oh honey, this is a gift for you, my darling, sweetheart, this, that. And then you will see, that is what the wife wants. She wants that reassurance. She wants to be sure that she knows that somebody loves her, cares for her. Allah has made woman like that. Even the old buddy, he's married 50 years, 60 years, he also must tell his wife, oh, ha, darling, oh, sweetheart, oh, John, or whatever, I really appreciate what you are doing. That is what Islam is all about. See, is Muharram. We speak of Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein, radiallahu anhu. The hadith in Sahih Muslim. One day Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, comes to the house of Sayyida Fatima, radiallahu anha. Oh, Fatima, where's Ali, radiallahu anha? She, Sayyida Fatima, radiallahu anha, said, Baini wa baina ushay. We had a slight argument, altercation. So, but where is he? He's gone to the masjid, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Abati. Oh, my beloved father. Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was, is, will always be the most beloved, the most precious to Almighty Allah in the entire universe. He's going to his son-in-law. Because now he's patch up between son-in-law and daughter. So Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Sayyidina Ali there in the masjid, speck of dust on his body and clothing. The master, Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his own Mubarak hands, removing the dust from the body, from the clothing of Sayyidina Ali. Today father-in-law will do. He will already start picking up his sleeves and there. They say, come here, son-in-law, let me give you some now. Panel beating and sort you out. We don't even know what happened, but we just want to start. See, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching us. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu goes on and says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me and said, Qum ya Aba Turab. Qum ya Aba Turab. Stand up, O father of saint. People used to call him Abul Hassan because he was the father of Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu, the eldest son. You see, but after that day, I loved this term, Aba Turab, the father of saint, because Kannani An-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The master alayhi salam gave me this title. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam patched everything up. So that is what we should do. Hamara kaam jorna hai, torna nahi. We can't be breaking marriages and all that. We have to patch it up and unite them. They nadan sometimes today, our children and our grandchildren and so forth. So take lesson from all those things. Especially now, 10 Muharram, everything, ask one another for maafi. This morning I gave a little bit talk day in Umslanga Masjid. I told the husbands, each one of you go to your wives and go ask her for forgiveness. For the men it's very hard that they say, oh honey, I want to ask you. So I say, do for Allah's sake, then a'azzahu Allah. Allah will give you honor and dignity when you do it for Allah's sake. In our, you know, vernacular and our languages, we say that if I go ask for maaf, ta'au nando pe tivan nosi. You know, that is maiman if you understood. Nando pe tivan na, meaning that I will become very small. No, you won't become nando pe, you will become vando pe. That Allah will increase your honor and your dignity. So remember, if we do for Allah's sake. You sisters, you're going to ask maaf for your mother-in-law. You know how many things you spoke about your mother-in-law. Mother-in-law, emche, netemche, bokarabche, and all that. You know how many things you spoke. So today, before Maghrib time, you phone her, contact her. If she's living there nearby, go hug her, take a gift for her, and tell her, oh mother-in-law, I love you. I brought this gift after Maghrib, tomorrow, anytime. So that is what we need to do. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tahaddaw tahabu. Give gifts to one another, and this will generate mutual love. فَإِنَّ الْهَدِيَّةَ تُذْهِبُ الدَّغَائِنِ. Because when you give gifts to one another, it removes the malice, the rancor, the hatred. It's got nothing to do with Ashura, the gifts. Remember that this gift you give any time. So today now is still the night, you do it now, it's fine. And you tell her, make dua for me, I'm going to make dua for you. And so we change an unfavorable condition to favorable condition. So I told you a little bit about Muharram. I told you the three things. Number one, fasting. And number two, about Tawbah. And number three, spending on your family and so forth. And I told you that we should be asking one another for forgiveness as well. Next important point, the events that took place in Muharram. There are many, I'll just mention two. On the first of Muharram, and this is the 24th year of the Hijrah. First of Muharram, 24th year of the Hijrah, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to make dua. Me and you, we say we love Madinah Munawwara. You know, Allah take us for Hajj, Umrah, Ziyarah to Medina. They push us in front sometimes, make dua, make dua. So we make dua. Ya Allah, mare Hajj ko kabul farma. Ya Allah, accept our Hajj. Everybody make Ameen. Ya Allah, accept our Umrah, Ameen. Ya Allah, Madinah Munawwara ki Ziyarat kabul farma, Ameen. Ya Allah, Madinah Munawwara ki maut nasib farma. Ya Allah, let us pass away in Madinah Munawwara. Then very few people, 90% don't say Ameen. You ask them why? The men say that no, we don't want to die now. We still got too many dollars in riyal. You ask the woman why? He says shopping baki che. We still have big list of shopping we got. So imagine just to say Ameen also is so difficult. Mothers, sisters, hadith in Bukhari, saying in Bukhari Sharif, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to make dua, cry, beg, petition Allah. Allahumma zukni shahadatan fi sabili. Ya Allah, grant me martyrdom in your path. Waj'al mawti bi baladi rasulik. Ya Allah, let me pass away in the city of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the ending of Zilhijjah. The year is 23 after Hijrah. He said that Umar radiallahu anhu is performing Fajr Salat. Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi came, and his name was Fayruz, with a dagger. And while Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was performing the Imam at the Salat, he stabbed him. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu fell down. Subhanallah. See Sayyidina Umar. Even in that condition, the worry, the concern of Salat, he gestured and pointed to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, ma'am, you make istikhlaf. Istikhlaf, you go front and you continue with the Salat. If something, Allah forbid, it must never happen. But in our masjid it will happen. Everybody's salat will be broken and there will be such commotion. So yes, Sayyidina Umar gestured, he said, you carry on with the salat. And Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu continued. If you open Bukhari Sharif, the whole incident is mentioned in detail. If you read it, you will cry. How Sayyidina Umar left this world. Then the men came, the women came, the children came to bid farewell to Amirul Mu'mineen, the second greatest person to walk on this earth after Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu warda, and after the Anbiya alayhimus salam, first are the messengers, Anbiya alayhimus salam, then Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, then Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. So his dua got accepted. In that stage and state, he said, make the shura of six people, they must choose the next khalifa. And the next khalifa was selected, and that is Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. On 1st of Muharram, the year 24 AH after Hijrah, he becomes the khalifa, and that is Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That is one major incident. For 12 years, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was the khalifa, from 1st Muharram till the ending of 35. So that's 12 years. Sayyidina Umar was 10 years. Then we come to the 10th of Muharram, and we find that Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's martyrdom and shahadat took place. Briefly, what happened was this. There is some questions I think you maybe got. This youngster, you go up, inshallah, and ask them. Ask your mommy and then ask you the questions and everything. Your name Ibrahim, no? Suleiman. Suleiman is coming, mashallah. I know his family and them very well, his mother and his nana and all of them. So Suleiman is coming, mashallah. And any questions you've got, you just write it down. And then, inshallah, we'll answer it also. Mother, sisters, what happened was that Amir-e-Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, remember, before Amir-e-Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's martyrdom took place in Ramadan, the year 40. And then we find Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa, was Amirul Mu'mineen, and for 6 months, Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein's elder brother. Then he resigned, and he said that I'm handing over the Khilafat, the Imarat, the leadership to Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And this is what Nabi alayhi salam prophesied. Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam in Masjid Nabawi, addressing the people, and Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu is sitting on a minbar, very, very young, 6, 7, 8 years old. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this incident is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, in Nabani Hada Sayyidun, that this grandson of mine is a Sayyid, is a leader. La'allallaha ayyusliha bihi bayna fiyataini minal muslimin. Allah Ta'ala will use him to bring about reconciliation between the two parties of this ummah. So in time of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he got martyred. Then Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the khalifa. And he then resigned. Amir Muawiyah became the Amir for 20 years approximately. From the year 41 after Hijrah to the year 60. And in 60, Amir Muawiyah, the year 41 is known as Amul Jama'ah, the year of unity, reconciliation. The entire ummah accepted Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu as the Khalifa, Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's children, Muhammad bin Hanafiya, all of them. In the year 60, remember that he in Rajab, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu passed away. Thereafter, Yazid came into power. So they in Medina Munawwara, they told the people, now you must take the oath, the bay'ah on the hand of Yazid. So there were senior sahaba, they refused. For example, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu refused. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu refused. Abdullah bin Umar initially refused, and then he took the bay'ah afterwards. Bay'ah means simple, that you put your hand in the hand of the leader to say, yes, I will accept you as the ruler, Khalifa Amirul Mu'minin. Why did Abdullah bin Umar accept? He said that for the sake of unity, although we don't accept Yazid as the best person. Likewise, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, he also initially was against, but then eventually he took the bay'ah. So Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu told them that I'll see tomorrow and so forth. And that night he left Madinah Munawwara, went to Makkah. And similarly with Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. So they both came to Makkah Mukarramah, and now they stayed there in Makkah Mukarramah. Now the time for Hajj came. So Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu in that interim period is receiving so many letters from the people of Kufa and all of them. That you come here, we don't want to take the bay'ah on and the oath of allegiance on the hands of Yazid, we want you to be the Khalifa and the Amir. So all that happened, the Sahaba, Abdullah bin Abbas, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abu Sayyid Khudri, all of them. Any other questions, we've got Suleiman will come one more time inshallah, and then you can just send the questions, I'll answer it inshallah. So anyway, it is the first day of Hajj. And the first day of Hajj is, you must remember, Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the 8th of Zilhijjah. And this is the year 60 after Hijrah. The people are leaving Makkah, going to Mina, then Ihram. Sayyidina Hussein says, I'm leaving now and I'm going towards Kufa. Abdullah bin Umar came. He said, these are the people who murdered your father. These are the people who were against your brother, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu. He begged him, don't go. He cried, Abdullah bin Umar. Abdullah bin Abbas said, please don't go. Sahaba begged him, but as taqdeer would have it, then he went. And remember that, I'm cutting the whole thing very short. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, before that sent Muslim bin Aqil. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had brothers, so you must remember that Jafar was his brother, Aqil was his brother radiallahu anhu. So he said he was his cousin. So Muslim bin Aqil went, and even he said, yes, the people want you and they'll make you the Amir and the Khalifa and so forth. So come. He, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, leaves on the 8th of Zilhijjah. On the 9th of Zilhijjah, remember Muslim bin Aqil is murdered and killed by the people there. So imagine, he doesn't know, Sayyidina Hussein doesn't know. Whilst going, now the news comes that Muslim bin Aqil is martyred. Sayyidina Hussein says, no, let us return. He said, no. You can't return now, because who's saying this? Muslim bin Aqil's sons are with. And they say, no, we must carry on. Sayyidina Hussein said, fine, we'll carry on. When he reached Karbala, so we must remember there, he told the people who were in charge in that because now he knows the people are turning against him. So I got three suggestions, and you tell me which one. Give me permission, I go back to from where I came, I go back to Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwarah. Or you give me permission, I go to any of the borders, and I will make jihad, and I will stay there, and so forth. Oh, you take me to Yazid. Remember Karbala, Kufa, all is in Iraq. Yazid is sitting there in Damascus. And then I and Yazid will discuss, and then I will accept and put my hand in his hand. So all these type of, it is clear you open Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah. They refuse all this. This is now Thursday, the 9th of Zilhijjah. And the 9th of Muharram. And remember that the 10th of Muharram was a Friday, the day of Ashura, the year is 61 after Hijrah. That Thursday, they even read Salat behind Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. They all knew that Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu at that time was the greatest person. And when will they get opportunity to read Salat behind Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu? Remember the love Nabi alayhi salatu salam had for both Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take both of them in his mubarak hands. The hadith in Tirmidhi. Allahumma inni uhibbuhuma fa ahibbahuma wa ahibba may yuhibbuhuma. Ya Allah, I love them. You love them, Ya Allah. And you love the one who loves them. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Listen carefully, mother sisters. Ye nukte ki baat hai. This is a big lesson. Sometimes we mix things up. It's time of Hajj, another time. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu performed 65 Hajj and he performed 1,000 Umrahs. When you study the profile of Sahaba, then you come to learn all these things. A'taqa alfa abdin wa atamara alfa marra. He performed 1,000 Umrahs, set free, liberated 1,000 slaves, and he made Hajj 65 times, Abdullah ibn Umar. So one Hajj is there, the people of Iraq came. All this is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, what I'm telling you now. So this person in Ihram, he killed a fly. This person in Ihram, he killed a fly. And he came to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu and told him that, you know, I'm in Ihram and I killed the fly. So he's telling the people, today Ahlul Iraq, the people of Iraq are asking me a question. That they qatal al-zubab, that they killed the fly. But they are the same people. It don't mean those people there, it means they are elders. That whom qatalu ibn binti Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They murdered and martyred the beloved Nawasa and grandson of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who was with us? The people of Iraq. So in Kufa and all that. From there they came. And in the Maidan at Tufuf. I've been there in 2000. Myself, Fatima, we all went, alhamdulillah. My wife. So you must remember in Karbala we went, we saw all. So what happened there? The area is called Maidan at Tufuf. And remember the place is called Karbala. The country is called Iraq. And there they murdered and martyred Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and he, Abdullah bin Umar, is telling those people, I heard with my own ears, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Huma rayhaniya fi dunya. They are my perfume. They are my fragrance in this world. So the love Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for them is beyond description. And remember, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu gave his life. Now the lesson, why did he give his life? He gave his life to show the system Islam has brought. That system we must not change. We must not change it to a monarchy system. Or we must not change it that after father, the son, and so forth and so. We must have the system of Khilafat. The best person who has the greatest knowledge, greatest taqwa, piety, wisdom, and so forth. He becomes the Khalifa, he becomes the Amirul Mu'mineen. So that is the main lesson we should be learning. To stand up for the truth, to stand up for justice, to stand up all this, not because we are hungry for power ourselves. Today I am hungry for power, so I want to eliminate this person and that person. No, not that. Not what's happening in today's world. This is the system of my Nana, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Nizam, that system must not be changed. So that is the message Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave. So mothers and sisters, there's many other discussions, but the time is almost over. It's 1-2 minutes left for 12. So let me just answer all your people's questions and inshallah. Any other questions you got, then maybe our youngster will come one more time. And see, you went 2 times already, is it? Yeah, so you go 3 times is sunnah, is it? Yeah? Okay, is it acceptable to keep only one fast on the 10th or 9th of Muharram? So you must remember today is 9th of Muharram, if you keep fast today, so you get sawab. But remember, the proper sunnah is we must keep 2 fasts. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sumu at-tasi wal-ashir. Sumu yawman qablahu aw yawman ba'dahu. The hadith is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad. So you fast 9th and 10th, or you fast 10th and 11th, or you fast 9th, 10th and 11th. Yesterday, the Imam of the Haram Sharif day in Makkah, Sheikh Usama Khayyat Hafidahullah, you know every Friday I translate the khutbah. So he discussed this masla. He said that the best is you keep 3 fasts, 9, 10, 11. Then if you keep the second category, 9 and 10, 10 and 11. So that is very good also. And totally permissible. And sunnah also. And he said if a person only fasts tomorrow, meaning on the 10th only, then what happens? He used the ibarat, he used the text and he said, وَكَرِهَا الْإِمَامُ أَبُو حَنِيفَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ that Imam Abu Hanifa, he considers that to be makruh. So we say that we should rather abstain from that than just keeping one fast. Although some ulama, they say permissible, but best is to keep 2. How does one calculate qaza, salat and a method to discharge it? Remember, you use your own discretion. You work out from when you became baligh. You became baligh in 2000. You became baligh in 1990, 1950, 1960. Then you ladies know during your menses and napaki and so forth, those salats are maaf. There's no ada, there's no qada, so that falls away. The days when you were clean, how many fajr salat you missed, how many asr salat you missed. So all that, so you work it out, and don't take the minimum amount, you take the maximum amount. And then remember, when you take the maximum amount, for fajr salat you will read 2, for zuhur salat you will read 4, I'm speaking of qada. Asr you will read 4, Maghrib you will read 3, and Isha Salat you will read 4, and you read the Witr, especially according to the Hanafis. So Qada of the Witr also. And for Qada you got so much time, you got the whole night. You can make Qada after your own Fajr Salat. You read Fajr Salat today 5 o'clock. After that 10 past 5, quarter past 5, you want to make Qada, it's fine, of your previous Salat. Today you're going to read Asr Salat, for example, half past 4, quarter to 5, 5 o'clock. And after that you want to make Qada, it's permissible. So much time you got. Remember, today the Ummah, we get so busy in Nafil Ibadat, that is like giving charity. That we give out, we give charity. So when we give charity, it's good. But if we are not paying our debts, we are not paying our debts, so how can that charity be good? So similarly, we have to first worry about that which is first. So that which is compulsory. So therefore, that we must. And awwalu ma yuhasabu bil abdu yawm al-qiyamah as-salat. The first thing that we will be questioned on day of qiyamah is our salat. The hadith in Tirmidhi. 13, 14, 15, can you make intention of qada and muharram? I answered this already. Maybe you came late. Remember tomorrow or today, tomorrow, Monday, whatever, you must just make intention of qada only. Or you make intention of muharram only. You can't combine. You know, we like to kill 2-3 birds with one stone. So we say tomorrow, I'm making intention for qada and I'm making intention for Ashura. That is not right. You can't do that. So you make intention for qada, then qada only. You make intention for Ashura only. You don't combine the two. That's not permissible. Similarly, Ramadan time, now you ladies, you must 5 fast, 6 fast, whatever, and now you're going to keep the 6 fast of Shawwal. You say, no, I'll keep qada and the fast of Shawwal. You can't. You have to keep qada first, and then you keep the qada, then you keep the fast of Shawwal. So always remember that. What is the significance of Muharram apples? Remember, maybe the apples are expensive that time, I don't know. So you must remember that this year got nothing to do with Sharia. You must remember, you want to make Isali Sawab for the deceased, for Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu an, or for the Ahlul Bayt, or for anybody, our own parents. It's not necessary we have to give out apples or bananas or whatever, anything you can give out. And it's not restricted, we must give it out on Ashura. Any day you can give it out. So we need to be clear on these issues here, that these type of things, that we must not specify it. I must give out apples, I must give out on Ashura day, I must give it out on Jumerat, I must do it on Thursday. Any day. Allah made something easy, flexible, why must we make it difficult and say it must be done on this day and so forth and so on. Isali Sawab is very good. I give you an easy example. The Umrah visas are open already. Umrah visas are open already. People are already getting their Umrah visas. Your uncle, your brother, your sister, whoever they're going. You understood? So tell them, make tawaf for me. I give you one secret of mine. So now when I went for Hajj with Allah's help, I made tawaf. I said, Ya Allah, from Nabi Adam alayhi salam, right till Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the Muslims, this tawaf reward must go to them. Then from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time till the last baby to be born, so I say, Ya Allah, whoever is Muslim, give them reward. Same thing with the Umrah, I did the same thing. So now for Isali Sawab, Allah is saying that you can make big, big intentions. So I met my nephew, I met this one, my friend. I said, you know what, I made tawaf for you. I made umrah for you. So alhamdulillah. So much Allah is prepared to give. You gave 50 cents, 1 rand, 5 rand out. Ya Allah, it is isali sawab for my parents who passed away. It is reward for people who are alive. Isali sawab is not confined only to people who are past dead and deceased. Even for those who are alive is acceptable. Remember that in nafil ibadat is fine. So our nafil fasting, our nafil charity, our nafil tawaf, all these type of things, then we can do so. So may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala accept us for His deen. May Almighty Allah make our khatima on iman. Inshallah, our Mawlana Ismail is here, my nephew, he'll make short dua, inshallah. So, you say, no, you don't have to make dua. Chalo, we make short dua. Khalas ba? الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجلنا للمتقين إماما Muhtaram mothers and sisters, you know the plight of our brothers, sisters there in Burma, Myanmar, Rohingya Muslims. Daily make dua for them, make dua for Masjidul Aqsa, the Palestinians, and the Haramain Sharifain, Allah Ta'ala protect it. And all the Muslims throughout the world who are suffering, Syria, Iraq, Libya, so many problems, Sudan, and Yemen, Somalia, Central African Republic. So all these people are going through so much difficulties. So every day at least make this dua. Ya Allah, help the Muslims who are mazlumeen, who are oppressed throughout the world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you alleviate their plight, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give them afia. When you want to make dua for somebody, then say, Allah give you afia. Afia, it means Allah give you good iman, good Islam, protect you, health, wealth, honor. It's one word and it's so inclusive and comprehensive. So make this dua for ourselves. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi al-deeni wal-dunya wal-akhirah. Qala Allah ta'ala fi shani habibi. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. You want to go for Umrah, mothers, sisters? Read this ayat here. I'm reading it twice. Surah 2, verse 128. You want to go for Umrah, for Hajj? Wa arina manasikana wa tub alayna. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Wa arina manasikana wa tub alayna. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samiul alim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Amin.